Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Well, if you got a Bible, I'm going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, everything you need is going to be on the screen. But we are going to flip all throughout the Bible this morning and try to answer the question, how does God speak? And when God speaks, what does God say? And how do I know if this is God's will or if that's God's will, if he wants me to go left or he wants me to go right, or if he's just being silent, and what do we do during those times? If you are in this room, you have certainly at some point wondered, what is God's will for my life? And I want to spend some time looking through scripture, trying to figure out how we decipher and determine that, because I believe that scripture is very clear that God is not a God of confusion, that he speaks to his people. And if God is speaking, he wants you to hear. He's not wasting his breath on you, I promise. God wants you to know his will for your life. Before I get there, because some of you have not been in 1 Kings for a really long time, so I'm going to buy you a little bit of time as you're flipping there in the Old Testament. I want to give you a story. In 1879, there was an inventor by the name of Thomas Edison. You've probably heard of Thomas Edison before he invented the light bulb. What you may not know about Thomas Edison is that it took him around 6,000 attempts to figure out how to make this thing shine. And in 1879, he finally figured it out, and that first light bulb burned for a whopping 13 and a half hours. People that create light bulbs today would probably love that because they're expensive and we would have to buy more. It's come a long way. In fact, in just 1 year, by the year 1880, after he had created that first light bulb that burned about 13 hours, he had perfected his creation to burn almost 1,200 hours. And so it just took off from the time that he figured it out to the time that it began to be something that was actually usable for people. And so naturally, people had questions to Thomas Edison about all of the failures. How do you push through when you have failed so many times? 6,000 times he had failed. And so someone once asked him, how do you keep going? What motivated and pressed and pushed you to continue trying until you finally got this incredible invention? And Thomas Edison's words, I think, will help guide us a little bit this morning, because this is what he said to that question. He said, I haven't ever failed. I just found 10,000 different ways that don't work. I think perspective in life changes a lot. Perspective will change the way you look at and approach your day. Perspective will change the way you look at and approach people and situations and circumstances. And the same thing is true when we're listening for a God's voice that we cannot audibly hear or visibly always see. Perspective changes a lot. If you have ever wondered what God's will is for your life or what God wants in this season of life, you are walking shoulder to shoulder with me. There have been a lot of times that I have been trying to listen to what God is saying. I have read his word and felt like I came up empty-handed. I have prayed and it felt like either he wasn't listening or he wasn't speaking the same language as I do. There have been a lot of times where it felt like God was silent when I needed a word. So how do we search and work through it? How do we work through when it feels like failure and he's not speaking? I want to show you four different things this morning, and I want to start in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament, finds himself in 1 Kings chapter 19, running for his life, scared. I'll explain a little bit more of his story as we dig in a little bit deeper, but he is hiding in a cave, and God shows up, and he audibly speaks to him. Listen to what he says in 1 Kings 19. Let's start in verse 11. God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but God wasn't in that either. But after the fire came the sound of a low whisper, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him, and it said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So in the Old Testament, which is those portion of books that that a lot of people don't spend a lot of time in because Jesus doesn't seem to be there, what you'll learn the more you mature in your faith is that Jesus is all over those Old Testament books. They're pointing to him. But before we get to Bethlehem in the book of Matthew, we have all of these old books, the Minor and the Major Prophets and the Psalms and the Proverbs. When I was younger, people would say, if you just read one proverb a day, and Solomon seems to me like Doug on the movie Up. Like he's in the middle of one thought, and then he bounces to another thought, and then he comes back to that thought. And as a teenager, I remember thinking, I have no idea what the book of Proverbs is about at all. It was a terrible idea to think that that was enough for me as a teen. And so there are a lot of confusing things. You look in the book of Genesis, and there's a story about the Nephilim that we don't have nearly enough time to describe. We see Abraham and Sarah, and we see Moses in the book of Exodus, and God spoke in a really different way. In fact, if you're not careful, it feels like God used to be a lot more kind to people than he is today. Let me give you a couple of examples. If you go back to Genesis chapter 18, you don't have to flip there now, but you can read it this week. There's a man by the name of Abraham and his wife, Sarah. Abraham's about 100 years old. Sarah's in her 90s. And God shows up through messengers knocking at his door, telling him, you're going to have a child. And I'm going to bless all nations through all of your children. Abraham and Sarah were so old, they actually laughed in the face of God. Here's what's interesting about that. There are a lot of people, including myself, that believe one of those messengers that showed up in Genesis chapter 18 was Jesus before Bethlehem. We call it a Christophany or a theophany, where God would show up in human form before the book of Matthew, and he would reveal himself. You see another one of these in the book of Daniel. The three Hebrew slaves, I tell you all the time, their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we remember them. But the names their parents gave them before they were slaves were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I just assume that they would probably rather be known by those three names than their slave names. They found themselves in slavery in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king at the time, and he built this massive statue of himself. And he said, when the trumpet blows, I want everyone in the country to bow down and worship this statue. And the three Hebrew slave boys said, no, thank you. We're not going to bow down to anyone but God. Everyone else bows down. King Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Maybe you're starting to remember the story from when you were a kid, if you grew up in church. And the three Hebrew slaves said, even if you throw us in the fire, we believe God will protect us. And one of the most powerful verses in the scripture, they say, but even if he doesn't, we're not willing to bow down. And so King Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the fire. Closes the fire, expects that they're dead, and then says, open the doors back up. I want to see that they're dead. And scripture says that he stood and saw not only three men, but four men walking around the fire, just enjoying themselves. And he said, the fourth looks like the Son of God. I believe that's Jesus again in 1 Samuel chapter 3, before Samuel became a priest when he was a young man. Scripture says that the audible voice of God called out to him in the evening. That's where you get these famous verses in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here I am, Lord, send me. Samuel is hearing the voice of God the way you're hearing my voice right now. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, you have the same thing. Go back to the book of Exodus and you have Moses before he takes the nation of Israel out of Egypt. What does God do? He shows up in a burning bush and he speaks to Moses. And man, wouldn't it be so convenient if God would just show up in a burning bush today? Do I go left or right? And there he is, and he just tells you. Do I marry this person or do I run for the hills? And he just knocks at your door and he tells you. Do I take this job promotion or do I stay where I'm at? Should I be content with what I have or should I buy this new home? And wouldn't it be much easier if I was laying in bed praying about it and God just said, Jared, this is what I want you to do. But 1 Peter chapter 1 gives us a little bit of insight. You don't have to go there right now, but you can write it down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Peter says this, that prophets and angels long in almost jealousy to experience God. Watch this, the way that you and I get to experience him today. The last two Sundays, our pastor talked about the Holy Spirit, that we have the presence of God as followers of Jesus, abiding in us, that we have the inerrant word of God, infallible and true, that never changes. And 1 Peter says in chapter 1 that the people that heard the voice of God are jealous of the way that you and I get to experience him. And so if you are longing today for more of Jesus, we said last Sunday, the issue is not God. He has not changed. The problem is a lot of times we're not listening. We're not looking in the right places, or we've moved. If you're taking notes, write this down. Elijah heard God when he stopped to listen. I think the key word there is stop and listen. We don't do that a lot in our culture today. We don't have time to stop. We don't have time to listen. Most of us, when we pray, are talking so fast and asking for so many things, we never stop to ask God what he wants. So let me give you some background in 1 Kings 19 in case you're not familiar with the story of Elijah. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. The Bible says that he was swept up in this great kind of wind and fire. God took him from earth. We get this sense that there was something special about Elijah. And in 1 Kings 19, he had just faced off with 450 false prophets. He went up on a mountain and he had had enough. There was a fake god named Baal, B-A-A-L, in the Old Testament, and all of the nation of Israel struggled with idolatry because everyone else got to worship Baal. They all got to do the things that they wanted to do. And the nation of Israel, even though they knew they had the one true God, they were always tempted to run after the fake gods. And Baal was a big one. In fact, Queen Jezebel, you've probably heard about her through the great prophet Elvis. He sang about her in one of his songs. Not really sure why I know that. I grew up on Elvis records, though, and I remember him singing about the evil Jezebel. And scripture describes her as that, man. She was wicked. She was tough. She had over 400 prophets for this fake god so that everyone would follow the god that she wanted them to follow, so that she could use religion to dictate what she wanted and say what she wanted. And Elijah, and more specifically, God had had enough of Baal. And so Elijah challenged the 450 prophets, I want you to build an altar, and I'm going to build an altar, and we're going to see whose God's real. I want you to pray to Baal, and I want you to ask him to send fire down from heaven to consume this altar. And while you do that, I'll wait, because I'm pretty confident that my God is going to be bigger than yours. And so Elijah watched as they cut themselves and screamed and yelled and cried, and they did everything they could to try to get Baal to show up. And you know, as a follower of Jesus in 2025, it just didn't happen. Elijah has a lot of sarcasm, pokes fun at him a little bit, seems to have a little bit of a sense of humor. And then Elijah had had enough, and he said, sit back and watch what God does. God, show them that you're the real God, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the altar. And then Elijah wipes out the 450 prophets. And in this moment where God has moved, maybe bigger than anyone had ever seen at that point in time, Elijah gets scared, feels vulnerable, and he isolates himself. He's fearful of a person named Queen Jezebel, even though he has seen the infinite God show up and do what only he could do. And that's why we find him in a cave in 1 Kings 19, isolated and alone. But watch this, it's quiet, there's no distractions. And even though I would argue that Elijah never should have been in that cave because he shouldn't have been fearful of people, God shows up. And what's interesting in the story of Elijah is that God doesn't show up and pat him on the back. He needs a little encouragement. In fact, what you'll find is that Elijah does a lot of whining. God, I'm the only one left on earth that is holy and right. No one else cares about good things. And I think God probably looks out and thinks, it's pretty accurate. But God doesn't encourage him and pat him on the back and allow him to just spend time and rest. God shows up in a still, small, quiet voice. After all of the chaos that God creates, God shows up in a whisper. Write this down. To hear God's voice, you have to clear out the noise and listen with intentionality. Sometimes God doesn't speak in these massive moments. A lot of times it's the still, small, quiet voice. It's really hard for me to hear the voice of God with a cell phone in my hand. a lot of distractions. The TV going on in the background, it's a lot of distractions. With the radio playing super loud, I'm not saying God can't speak in those moments, but sometimes when you really want to hear his voice, if you're really searching for him, it needs to be you and him. You got to get away. As a husband, as parent, and as pastor, I have found that there are times where I need to separate myself for a moment from everyone so that I can be the person that they need me and want me to be. I got to spend intentional time with God in the cave, and I've got to intentionally listen for his voice. But I want you to know that what God is going to speak in that moment is not always going to be what you want. God may not always say to go right or left, to take this job or that job, to move in this house or that house, to marry this person or to run from the hills. What God said to Elijah is simply, Elijah, why are you here? You got a job to do. You're supposed to be faithful, but you're running from the enemy. What you'll find a lot of times is that God's voice is more concerned, and I know this sounds really cliche, with your holiness than your happiness. God is more concerned about your faithfulness to him than the situation and circumstance that is consuming you, right? So in the Old Testament, God shows up and he speaks through prophets, and it's not just men, he speaks through women. There was a prophetess in the name in the book of Judges by the name of Deborah that God spoke through. And so he is speaking through people, but if you pay attention, what you'll find is that it's in the Old Testament you only get glimpses of God. All right, so let's go to the New Testament, the part that everybody likes to talk about. Let's go to when Jesus shows up, all the way to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews is all the way towards the end, and here's what you're going to find is that the book of Hebrews says, we hear God through the word. And you'll notice that actually all of ours are capitalized here, so you won't notice it, but I, in my notes, capitalized the W in word, and I'll get to why I did that in just a minute. A lot of times we think of the Bible as the word of God, and it is, and it's really important. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It has withstood the test of time, never proven wrong. Historically, it is accurate, and spiritually, it is accurate. It is truth, and it does not change, and it never will change, and that is why the world doesn't like it, because it refuses to bend to what the world wants. The Word of God, the Bible, Scripture, but the Word of God explained in the Bible, it's actually a person. His name is Jesus. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 1 says. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a journey with you. I've talked about this a lot from this stage before. I think it's really important for Christians to understand the person of Jesus. I am talking about Jesus. Hebrews says we hear God through the person and the words of Jesus. So it's kind of twofold here. The word of God is the person of Jesus. But the word of God that we think of, the Bible, it is a word that explains the ministry, the life, the deity, the godness of Jesus. If you go back to John chapter 1, you don't have to do it right now. I quote these verses all the time. John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. The word is Jesus, capital W. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. How do we know that's Jesus? Because in John 1, verse 14, he says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says the exact same thing, that all things were made by him. So Colossians 1 and John 1 connect all the way back to Genesis 1. When God spoke the words, let there be light, John 1 and Colossians 1 say, that was actually Jesus. He is the creator and the speaker of life. And Hebrews says, we hear God's voice through him. We see God in Jesus because he is God. We see the way he relates to sin. We see the way he relates to our mistakes. We see the way he treats his enemies. We see how frustrated he gets with sin. We see forgiveness and redemption. If you wonder what God thinks about something, look at the way Jesus thought about it. If you wonder how God reacts, look at the way Jesus reacted. If you want to know God's will, listen to the words of Jesus. So in the old books of the Bible, God spoke audibly. He spoke through himself as a person. He spoke through dreams and visions. Here's the problem. Elijah could only speak what God had spoken to him. Man, wouldn't it be incredible if God would just speak to me audibly? The issue is we needed prophets and priests. And Moses was only capable of telling the people what God had told him, no more. Moses couldn't tell them everything about God. He didn't know it. All he could do was give them the message God gave to him. William Barclay, he says it like this. He said, the prophets were friends of God. Jesus is God. The prophets grasped some of the mind of God. Jesus is the mind. And so what once was covered up and mysterious and we couldn't know it all of the way, when Jesus showed up on the scene, he revealed everything. In fact, John chapter 1 says, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When? When we saw Jesus. When we heard him speak. And we saw him love. And we saw him act on behalf of the least of these. Here's the problem. If you showed up this morning hoping to know how to hear from God, it is probably disappointing to you that I would point you to the person of Jesus and the Bible. And if I'm being really honest with you, and probably a little bit offensive, it's because we're lazy. We like to think of Jesus as a payphone booth, which if you're under the age of 40, you have no idea what that is. They used to have phones with cords, which if you're under the age of 40, you have no idea what that is. And then you would put coins in these phones, which if you are under the age of 40, you don't even know what coins are. But you could contact anyone on the face of the planet that had a phone. You just step into a payphone booth or pick it up and you could call anybody on earth. And we think of Jesus that way. In fact, Hebrews kind of describes him as that, our great high priest that connects us to the Father. We can pray anytime we want, ask anything we want, any way that we want. He may not give you what you want, but he's given you access. Jesus is kind of like a payphone booth to the Father. It's a really bad illustration, but it kind of works. We like that part of Jesus, but we also want the old part where God shows up and knocks on our door because we're lazy, because we don't want to work. I don't want to spend time listening to what God wants for my life. I want him to listen to what I need him to do in mine. But even the 12 disciples, that was not their experience. Think about the 12 disciples. Jesus called two of them off of a boat. They were brothers. He didn't give them everything that they needed in that moment. How did they grow close and understand God's will for their life? They walked faithfully with Jesus day in and day out for 3.5 years. And most of them, if not all of them, would tell you today, it wasn't long enough. I needed more. Faithfully walking with Jesus and spending time in his word is the way that you hear his voice. Write this down. If you're listening for words from God, you'll find them in the word of God. Now, you can't open the book of 1 Jared and look at chapter 1 and try to figure out what God wants for you. I try to remind you all the time that the Bible is not about you and me. It's about God. We don't get to read ourselves into his story. Right? He puts himself, or we don't get to put ourselves in the middle of him, right? He is the one that it revolves around. God invites us to be a part of what he's doing, not the opposite way around. You're not going to read the Bible and understand immediately, this is exactly what God wants from me. Because God's word is not based around your situation. It's based around spiritual formation. God's desire is for us to be faithful to him, to walk with him day in and day out. And the more that we do that, the more we will be in tune to what he's speaking and saying. In other words, if you want to hear God's voice, there's got to be a level of spiritual maturity that begins to happen. You got to walk with him, rub shoulders with him, know him. All right, let's get into a little bit of the nuts and bolts of it. Flip over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, I'm trying to hear God's voice, trying to figure out God's word, I'm trying to decipher what God wants. So how do I really do it? How do I know if this is God? I feel like this is where I'm supposed to go. How do I confirm that this is God's will and not something that I want? If you're anything like me, I grew up in Forney. I grew up in this church. I've been in this church for 42 years. And over time, because I was for a long time the really young person in this church, I had a lot of people that always had a word for me. You ever had somebody that came up to, they got a word for you? Man, the Lord laid this on my heart. I think he just wants me to speak this over. And I'm not saying that that doesn't ever happen. But it was happening a lot in the book of 1 John. Remember in 1 John, they didn't have a Bible. It was still being put together, right? This testimony of the church was still coming together. So they didn't have like a guide necessarily how to know all of truth. And so what happened was there was a lot of people that jumped into the early church and they taught a lot of things that were wonky and not true. And so the book of 1 John is fighting against false teachings and false doctrines. And 1 John chapter 4, he tells us how to know if this is God's voice or if it's not. He says this, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every word. Don't believe every thought. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into this world." So if you're looking for a word from God, we're going to find it in the person of Jesus and his teaching and his life and his ministry. We're going to find it in the Bible. And if you believe that God is showing you something, John says this, don't ever be afraid to test it. God's not scared of you trying to confirm and verify when it comes to something you feel like he's laying on your heart. I think there are three ways that we do it. I've already given you a couple of them. If I want to know if this is from God or if it's not, the first thing I do is I hold it up to God's word. This truth in his word never changes, never has, never will. It is the same. God, scripture says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I get a word or I'm trying to figure it out, I can always hold it up to God's word because God will never contradict his word. There will never be a time in your life where God asks or calls you or leads you to do something that doesn't go along perfectly with what the Bible says. He doesn't contradict himself. So we hold it up to God's word. We look at the ministry and the life of Jesus. I think a lot of times of God's word as a boundary for our lives. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God did this in the very beginning. He created the Garden of Eden and it must have been unbelievable. And he created Adam and Eve and he said, enjoy one another and enjoy the garden. Enjoy everything that I have created. Just don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God set up a boundary and he said, there is a lot of freedom for you in this garden to enjoy life. Enjoy it. Just don't do the one thing. I think that God's word in a lot of ways is that. Do I take this job or do I take this job? Let me ask you, can you be faithful to God more in one than you can the other? Will one keep you from being generous? Will one take you away from being the person that God has created and called you to be as a husband or a wife or a parent? I think there's a lot of freedom that we don't recognize as followers of Jesus that we get to live in. Scripture sets up the boundaries. Do I marry this person or not? Well, can you love them as Christ loved the church? Can you serve them? Is your marriage going to honor Christ? Are you going to be able to continue in sexual purity? The word of God, it lines up the boundaries and then God just goes, enjoy. Live a life that honors me and enjoy it. So line it up to God's word. Does it contradict God's word? The second thing is ask the Spirit to guide you. We talked about the Holy Spirit the last two Sundays. I'm not going to go back and rehash all of those things. You can look at YouTube. You can listen to our podcast. You can go listen to it on our website. Ask God's Holy Spirit to guide you. John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going back to heaven, but that is better for you. Because if I go back to heaven, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who will be with you, all of you, always at the same time. The problem with a lot of followers of Jesus today is we live like we don't have access to God's presence. It's not that we don't have him, we just don't acknowledge him. Ask the Spirit to guide you. I believe God will faithfully, if you are searching for God's will, I think he wants to show you what it is. Here's the last one. Ask other believers for insight. I believe godly community is one of the greatest gifts that God has given Christians. I think it's found significantly in the church. If you are just showing up at church on a Sunday morning, we're grateful. I'm not coming at you today, but I want you to know at some point you need to dig into community because community is where growth begins to happen. Being known and knowing other people and rubbing shoulders and accountability and all of the things that make us uncomfortable. That's where growth begins to happen. And if you are just showing up on your own, you're fighting a battle that you cannot win on your own. But with a community of people, you are much, much stronger. You should have godly people in your life that you can text, call, or meet up with that you know will give you godly counsel. They can tell you when you're walking down a road that is very obviously not what God wants for you. Do you have people like that in your life? God's word, God's presence, God's people. That's how we determine God's will. Here's the very last thing. Hearing God's voice comes from a deep relationship with him. Like the most cliche Christian-y thing that I could throw at you is how I'm going to end this morning. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. They know me. They know my voice. And he goes on and he says, and I know them. My sheep don't read my word to figure out what my answer is. My sheep read my word so that they can know me. My sheep don't drop in every morning in prayer to ask me for a favor. My sheep, they pray every day to spend significant time with me. And then when I speak, they know that it's me. Walking faithfully with Jesus will always guide you to his voice. And I'm not saying that it will always be perfect clarity, but I think that God has given us the things that we need to be able to determine what he's saying. I would say what I said at the beginning this morning, that I believe that God is speaking to his people today. I believe if you're questioning or wondering if this is God's will or if I'm in the right place or why are things not going the way that I was hoping that they would, I believe God has an answer for that. I believe that he's speaking today in your life. And I also believe that he wants you to know what he's saying. God doesn't desire his people to walk around confused. And so I'd ask you these three questions to kind of close out this morning. And I'm going to ask our worship team, Joel, you guys can come on to the front. If you're wondering what God's will is, the first question I'd ask you is, have you prayed about it? Have you spent significant time, not just talking, but in silence listening? I'm not saying God's going to bust open the clouds and speak audibly. But I think his Holy Spirit whispers in the same way it did in 1 Kings 19 at times. Have you prayed about it? Have you dug into his word, not just to know the answer, but to know him, to walk with him, to understand him? And here's the last one. Have you sought out godly counsel? Have you asked somebody that you know is walking with Jesus what they think about your situation? It may be that God just has you in a season of waiting and someone on the outside can tell you, hey, I think God's just telling you, just be faithful and trust him. Just keep walking with him. It may be that they can speak into your situation and say, hey, I think you're being a little arrogant and prideful. I think you need to humble yourself. It may also just be that they're going to shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know what God wants for you, but I would love to pray with you about it. And that's what we do every Sunday morning. We have prayer partners that come up and they give you the opportunity to pray. If you got something this morning that you'd like to pray about, we'd love to pray with you, to pray over you and for you. If you want to pray on your own, maybe your family's going through something today and you've been seeking out God's voice, and this morning is a reminder that he's speaking and you want to silence yourself and you want to begin to hear. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything I talked about this morning. God's just at work, or there's somebody in your life you want to pray for. We'd love to invite you to do that as we worship. If you don't have anything else to pray about, I don't have them up here this morning, but we have a big group of Bibles this week that your generous tithes and offerings have helped purchase. And this week at our Beach Club ministry at Rhodes Intermediate School, every kid that is a part of that is going to get a Bible for free. Found out even this week from an email that one of the parents said, we don't even have a Bible in our home. Can't wait to get it. But God speaks through his word. He tells us the story of how much he loves us, cares for us, and how he wants us to follow and obey him. And we believe that these Bibles have the ability to eternally impact and change lives. And we would love to invite you this morning to pray over that, that God would use these to speak. I want you to know this morning that if you've ever given a penny to the ministry of Fellowship 40, you're a part of that. If a life has changed, you're a part of that. When a kid opens a Bible for the first time and reads the word of God, you're a part of that. And so if you don't have anything else to pray over this morning, would you pray that God would speak clearly to these students so that their lives and the lives of their family would be radically changed? I'm gonna ask you if you would to stand. We're gonna worship together. We're gonna receive communion in just a few moments, and we're gonna ask God to continue to be alive and big in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.